Well, good morning, family. Everybody looks so good today. Got a couple things I want to share with you before we get started with the lesson. I've actually was handed three different notes, so I'll do my best at trying to read these notes. But these are names and people that are precious to us. It's not just a note. We want to congratulate a few people. Faith. Faith, where are you at? Faith, where's Faith? She's right on this side over here somewhere. Faith is our new sister in Christ. Please stand up wherever you are. I still haven't seen you. Is she here somewhere? She was. Anyway, she's our new sister in Christ. She was baptized on February the 8th. So we welcome her to the family. I'll have a few others stand up. Why not? Terry Singleton, would you please stand up? He just placed membership with us this morning. Did I say it wrong? Kingston. Why did I say Singleton? Sorry about that. Kingston. And others that are placing membership, let's see. Dominic and Raven Cothran, would you please stand? Welcome to the family. All right. Thank you. Thank you for letting me embarrass you. We also have a birthday girl here today, at least one birthday that I know of. Oh, there she is. I found her. So maybe we'll sing happy birthday later on. Don't get away, because maybe we shouldn't do it here, but we'll do it in the foyer. So today is somebody's birthday. Yes. So Carol, we're happy birthday today. All right. We just got a nice card that was just given to us in regards to our trip to the Philippines, in which we'll be leaving tomorrow. So we want to thank the congregation for all your kind words in this card. Some wonderful things said. It's very meaningful to us that each of you are thinking about us and sending your love with us as we travel to the Philippines tomorrow. Please pray for the safe travels. And as you know, with the coronavirus going around, we've got our masks ready. We're ready to go with that. And pray for us that there'll be no problems on the way. It's about 20 hours in the air and on the layovers as we go there. And then we go ahead in the time machine 15 hours ahead when we get there. So it'll be quite a trip, but pray for us while we're gone for 2 weeks and that we'll have success. Our team's already over there. They've been there for a little bit more than a week already, and they've had 57 obey the gospel. Amen? Isn't that great? So we're looking forward to joining them in that fun, and we will carry your love with us to the Philippines. Take your Bibles, if you would, and open up to Philippians chapter 1, please. Philippians chapter 1. There's also a sermon outline in the bulletin that you can follow along with. And it's funny that David was talking about how to interact with people, as he put it, because that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. In fact, I'm going to give you some pointers on how to interact with some problem people in your life as well. Because none of us have any problem people in our lives, right? We have always got pleasant people. Everybody's easy to get along with, but you know that's not true. So we're going to be talking about that this morning as well. I think that we are often challenged in our lives to get along with certain annoying people. Can I just put it that way? People that get on your nerves. People that are not easy to get along with. I think we face that challenge probably on a daily basis. How do we deal with people that are not so pleasant, people that are difficult to get along with? These may be coworkers, they may be classmates, it might be your spouse, it might be a friend, it might be an enemy, whatever. We have people that are difficult to get along with. And, you know, for people in the world, when they encounter difficult relationships like that, they really aren't as challenged as we are, I think, because for people in the world, they'll just say, you know, if I don't like that person, I'll just stay away from that person. I don't think as children of God, we have that option. I think as followers of Jesus Christ, God calls us to be different when it comes to dealing with difficult people. In fact, it may surprise you that God actually gives us a command to be different. When Jesus was asked what the greatest thing in life to do, the greatest command to obey, you remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 22. At about verse 37, Jesus said, the greatest command is to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And then he said the second, and this is what I want to focus on this morning, the second command, you know, is to love your neighbor as yourself. Neighbor even being maybe your enemy. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44, he said, love your enemies. Do good to those who spitefully use you. Pray for them. Bless them. This is what we're called. We're called to be different than the world. Whoever our neighbor is, it's the one that's nearby in locale, that is the person that we're called to love and to even try to be different than the world in how we interact with them. And a big part of loving people also involves enjoying people. And since I was thinking about this Friday, since it was Valentine's Day, I thought to myself, that'd be a pretty good lesson to give. Actually, I thought about it before Friday, but I thought it'd be a good sermon to talk about how can we enjoy the people, whether they're friends or enemies, the people that God has placed in our lives. Do you enjoy the people around you? Do you enjoy the people that you work with? Do you enjoy the person that you're married to? Do you enjoy your in-laws, outlaws, whatever they are, those relatives that are sometimes challenging to get along can you enjoy them? Often we don't really enjoy the people in our lives. Rather, instead, what we end up doing is we just try to endure them instead of enjoying them. We try to tolerate them. We try to put up with them. We try to, maybe even in our family gatherings, if we have loved ones that we don't see eye to eye with, we just sort of try to manage the situation, either stay away from them or figure out ways that we're not going to get into an argument with them or cause some kind of problem. And so we're just trying to just get by, trying to tolerate them. And again, I would just say, if you are a child of God, if you're a Christian, I would challenge you to say that God wants you to be different. He actually wants you to find a way that you can enjoy these kinds of people in your lives, in your life. So what I'd like to do, using Philippians chapter 1 this morning, in verses 3 through 8, I'd like to suggest some ways that we can be better at this, that we can obey the command that Jesus gave us to love our neighbor. So using these five verses here in Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 8, we're going to be talking about the need for us to thank God for the good that we see in people, to also then take the time to pray for them, to also tolerate the fact that they're a work in progress, they have some growth that they need in their lives, and then finally, we're going to find a way to tuck them away in our hearts so that we can enjoy the people that God has placed in our lives. Now, let's start with this first point here. In Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 4, one of the things I see from these two verses is that I think God is calling us to thank Him for the good that we see in others. Paul puts it this way in chapter 1, verse 3. He says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you with all joy. Now, the verse goes on, but I want to focus on this part. This book of the Bible, the book of Philippians, is a very personal letter from Paul to the Philippians. It is also a very positive letter. If you scan these short four chapters, what you will find is the constant use of the words either joy, rejoicing, glad, gladness, those terms used about 18 times in this short letter. And Paul genuinely enjoyed his relationships with the Philippian saints. One way he did this was by being grateful for the memories that he had of them. He remembered the good things about them. He chose to focus on the good times that he had with them. What do you remember about the people in your lives? Now, some of you this morning, you can say, well, you know, when I think about some of the really neat people in my life, I can remember the good. But what I'm calling you to do is actually go beyond that and find those people that maybe they're a little difficult to deal with at times. And I'm going to challenge you to try to look at them, whatever negative things you see, is to actually focus on something, maybe some things, that are really good about that person. Are you grateful for that person? Do you remember the good things, or do you focus on the bad things, the positive things rather than the negative things? Paul remembered the positive experiences that he had with these Philippian Christians. Now, did this mean that Paul always had good times with them? There were never any difficult moments with them? Well, if you were to look at the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 16, this is a good backdrop for Paul's experiences there in Philippi. And as you look at his time that he spent there, you would find that Paul was illegally arrested there. He was beaten. He was whipped. He was humiliated. He was thrown into jail. A lot of negative things happened to him there. And after he was in jail, and remember he and Silas were praying, the prison walls came down. Paul then basically tore up their jail. He caused problems there, causing an earthquake in that jail for the walls to come down. And then he was asked to leave the city of Philippi. And so on a human level, Paul did not have smooth sailing there. It wasn't always good times there. In fact, mostly you might say he could remember some of the negative things there. But he chose to focus on the things that he could be grateful for. As he looked back on his experience there in Philippi, as you go to the earlier section of chapter 16 in Acts, you'd find that Paul met some beautiful women, wonderful inside and out, women there praying by the riverside. He met a woman named Lydia. He shared the gospel with Lydia. Lydia opened up her heart to the gospel, it says in the text there, and she was baptized. She obeyed the gospel. Paul also then, after he was thrown into jail, you'll remember too that his experience with the jailer, when the walls came down, the jailer came and said, "What must I do to be saved?" He stayed up past midnight to hear the gospel, and he was baptized in the late hours of the night. He obeyed the gospel. Those were the things, you see, that Paul chose to focus in on. Yes, he could think of some of the negative things, but he chose to focus on the positive things. So in the past, maybe as you think about some of the challenging relationships that you have in your life, maybe in the past you've been hurt by a spouse, you've been hurt by a friend, you've been hurt by maybe your parents when you were growing up, they did things that hurt you. Are you still holding on to that hurt? Is that hurt festering inside of you? Is there, over the years, has there built up a bitterness that you have when you think about that person? If that is true, you cannot truly enjoy those relationships. You're still focusing on the bad things, on the negative things. And as you look at every relationship that you have, if you have people that, you know, that are on your hit list, the ones, I don't mean that way, but, you know, that are on your list of the less desirable ones, people that you know, what I'm saying to you is that it's not possible for us to completely erase all the bad things. As you think about some of those bad things, try to put that aside and focus on the good things. There are some things, maybe only a couple things, but a couple things that they have done right. And so when someone does something wrong to you, don't forget about all the good things they have done for you. And focus on those things. Pleasant memories really are a choice. I choose what I'm going to remember. And mature Christians, joyous Christians, they remember the best and they forget the rest. To really be a mature child of God in your relationships, you have chosen to focus on the positive things that you see, the qualities that you see in another individual. Now again, I'm not saying that you deny all the pain that may have caused you in the past, but focus on the good and choose to emphasize their strengths. Paul, one of the things that Paul did here was he was especially grateful for these saints, these Philippian saints, in terms of their loyalty. So watch what he says here in verse 5. Well, I'll just read the whole verse. It says, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you with all joy. He says, for, here's what it's for. He says, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. So Paul thinks about, I remember when I first met them. And I remember how, maybe he remembers times when he shared the gospel with them. He remembers their first days in Christ, and he enjoyed that fellowship, and he's saying, I remember from the first day until now. Now, there may have been some negative things that happened in between, but he's thinking about their conversion from the first day. He's thinking about the great time that they're having right now. And those were the things that Paul focused on, mainly because he's saying, we've had a faithful relationship. You've been faithful to me, faithful to the gospel. And Paul was greatly appreciative of that. Now, as I think about the idea of loyalty, every single one of us in here, we have people that have been loyal to us. Think about some people in your life that, you know, they've been with you, we'll say, for the long haul, right? So you've had a relationship with them, and you see loyalty in them, and that's that quality of your relationship. And I'm saying to you, you know what? Probably every single one of us here need to do a better job of appreciating that. Sometimes it's the people that have just always been there. You sort of take for granted. They're just like a piece of furniture in the house, right? They're just always there. But I'm asking you today, get excited about that and think about and appreciate, deeply appreciate the loyalty that others have had in your life. So these are things to think about. Focus on their strengths. Focus on their good points, not their weaknesses. And, you know, that may take a lot of creativity in some respects. But you can always find something good in everyone. Remember, God wants you to enjoy people. He wants you to love Him. And by the way, it is a command that we love our neighbors, enjoying them. Let's go to our second point this morning. So first of all, we've said you really need to thank God for the good in others. The second thing I think I want to suggest this morning that will help you enjoy your relationships with people is you need to take time to pray for people. Isn't it encouraging for you to know that someone out there is praying for you? That when they go to God and when they're talking to God in prayer, they're thinking about you in that prayer. You are in their thoughts. Now, if you're having trouble in your relationship with someone, the best way I think that you can change a relationship from good, from bad to good, is to start thinking about them in your prayers to God, and to actually verbally pray for them as you're praying to God. And what this is going to do is, this is going to do two major things. First of all, maybe and foremost, it's going to change your attitude about them. In fact, if there is some level of bitterness that you have in your heart toward them, it's probably going to ease that up. I shouldn't say probably. I think it for sure it's going to ease that up. And you're not going to be inclined to be so bitter toward them because it's changing you as you pray for that person. That's one thing. The second thing is, can I just say this? It is actually changing them. Do you believe that in prayer? If you're praying for someone, maybe it's even your enemy, and you're praying goodness and blessing into their life, and you're praying maybe even that God would allow them to stop being so mean to you or whatever it is, but you're praying for that person, God is going to change that person. I have found that positive praying is much more effective than positive thinking. Does that make sense to you? You know, you if you think about someone and you say, well, I want to think positive thoughts, and that's great. Positive thoughts. And you can draw from that to an extent. But I think that actually positive praying for them has an even greater result. People may resist our efforts to try to reconcile with them. But let me tell you something. They are powerless against your prayers. When you're praying for them, they can't do much about that. That's between you and God, and I think that it will change them in the long run. So pray for them, and And when you're praying for them, they say something else. I'm going to look at the next, skip down in Philippians chapter 1 down to verse 9. When you pray for them, pray, don't pray generically for them. Pray specifically. You know, we could just simply say, oh God, would you please bless them? And it's very generic. We just go on with the rest of our prayer. But I think we need to be specific to God for ourselves as we're praying, as we hear these things. Specific. Now watch what Paul says when he's praying for them. Philippians chapter 1 down to verse 9. Paul says, this I pray. He's praying for them. He says, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere, he says, without offense, till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. So look at this prayer here. Paul is praying that they would grow in love. He's praying that they would make wise decisions. They would have discernment. He prays that they would do the right thing. He prays that they would live for God's glory. Are you sincerely praying for the people in your life? And if not, maybe that's why you're not enjoying people as you should. Pray for them. So again, thank God for the good that you see in them. Secondly, pray for them. And then thirdly, as we turn now to verse 6 of chapter 1, I think Paul is telling us that we should tolerate the process of growth in people. A lot of the people that you know in your life are often immature. Not only do they have a lot of faults that you very readily see, but sometimes in your mind you're even saying to yourself, I don't think they're even going to change. It doesn't even look like on a human level that they can change. They're never going to grow out of these faults. In some areas of their lives, they actually have a lot of growing up to do. And yet, as we make this observation of others, let me throw out a caution for you. You need to be careful in this. We need to be very patient with their progress, and we need to change our perspective in the way that we see them. You see, all of us, every single one of us, we are a work in progress. Amen. I know I am. My wife will tell you that. I am a work. You are a work. We're all a work in progress. God is not finished with any of us. And Paul had this perspective on these Philippian Christians. He says in verse 6, he says, being confident of this very thing, that he, that's God, who has begun a good work in you, will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And so Paul, what he did was, he looked at their future, not just their past. He saw for them, with God in the equation, a very powerful future. You know, this is the very same thing that Jesus did. He did this throughout his ministry. A great example of this is, remember, when Jesus was, they brought him a woman that was caught in adultery, and the woman came before him, and boy, they're ready to throw stones. You know how the story went. But as we get to the end of the story, what happens was, after all the accusers left, Jesus said to the woman, woman, he said, neither do I accuse you. He said, go and sin no more. You see, Jesus was more concerned about her spiritual future than he was her sinful past. May we learn a lesson from that today as we encounter people that really get on our nerves, that really bother us, that really need a lot of work. They have a lot of baggage, a lot of things in their lives that we don't like from the past. But let's try to look forward on their behalf, knowing that if God is in the equation, man, great things can happen for them. Paul looked toward their future, not their past. Here's something about us human beings. You're going to see this, and you'll have to admit this about yourself as well. Humans are really good starters, but bad finishers. Can I get an amen? We're just not very good finishers sometimes. We leave things undone. We don't always finish what we start. But let me tell you something. God always finishes what He starts. Amen? We need to believe that. We need to believe that in regards to other people as well. And so when you're being, see, here's the thing. When you're being, if God is going to finish what he starts, when you're being patient with people, you're actually being patient with God. Can you see it that way? I mean, if God is at work in their life and you're being patient with them, you're also being patient with God. And we have to learn how to enjoy people where they are right now. Not thinking about where we want them to be, but here they are, and we're hoping they're going to change and get better, but let's be thankful for them and praise them as in terms of where they are right now and enjoy them. We need to assure them that we believe in what they can become in Christ Jesus. Like this is what Paul's doing here. The Christian life is a continual process of growth. John, the writer of John's Gospel, and in John chapter 1 and verse 12, John says this. He says, to them he gave the power to become sons of God. To them, the believers, he gave them, that's us, the power to become sons of God. We are all becomers. We are all growing in Christ. To enjoy people, you've got to enjoy them in the process, not wait until they've arrived, because it's never going to happen in this life. As you think about the people in your life, don't think about how much they need to grow, but think about how they've already grown to some point. Can we do that? Boy, that would be a great way to look at people. Thank God for the good in them. Take the time to pray for them and then tolerate the process of growth. Our fourth point this morning. How can you enjoy people in your life? Well, here's the kicker right here. You need to tuck them away in your heart. Paul said it this way in chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. He said, just as it is right for me to think this of you all, he says, because why? Because I have you in my heart. And went on to say in verse 8, for God is my witness how I greatly long for you with all the affection of Jesus Christ. Paul says, though, in verse 7, I have you in my heart. I have discovered that if people are not on my heart, they can get on my nerves. If you have children in the house and your children are not in your heart, they will get on your nerves, especially if they're teenagers. Can I get an amen? Oh, yes. Ladies, if your husbands are not in your heart, oh, they can get on your nerves. Razzle, can I get an amen? Right. You got to have people in your heart. Having someone in your heart involves connecting with them emotionally. When you talk to that person and you're hearing their problems and you're thinking about your problem relationship with them, but when you're hearing them talk, hear beyond their words and hear their feelings. Oh, women are really good at this, right, ladies? They're better than men at this. But I think we can all get better at this. It may take effort on some of us, our big deal of effort, but relationships are worth it. And so there's this guy at work that you're having a really difficult time working around or working with, we'll say, okay? And this is the guy, again, he's getting on your nerves. Boy, this guy, he seems to always do things that upset you. I mean, this guy probably, maybe he's a first-class jerk. Can we say that? All right? And you're always disturbed by him. But, you know, here's the thing. You may not know his background. You don't know his struggles. You don't know his baggage. You don't know the things that he's been through. And in fact, even though you may not like him right now, you would have liked him a whole lot less, let's say 5 years ago when he was really a jerk. And now he's just a little bit of a jerk and you're seeing it and it's intersecting with your world, you see? So you need to think differently. What you need to do is take that person and put them in your heart. Pray for that person. Be extra friendly toward that person. You're going to have people in your life that I like to call EGR people. I don't know if you know what EGR means. EGR means extra grace required. You know, this is the person, boy, they're so bad in your life. You need to bathe them in grace. You know, put God's grace upon them because that's what it's going to take for you to get through your relationship with that person. So in prayer, ask God for you to have more patience when you are around them. Ask God to somehow create a way that you can connect with that individual. You ever had a disconnect with someone and finally maybe you figured out some way that you had something in common or something that was a special interest of theirs and you're able to bring that thing up and all of a sudden it removes these layers of friction between you and them and you begin to connect better with that person. Ask God in prayer, God, help me to find the way to get along with this guy that I really don't like. You know, God will bless that kind of prayer. And when you try to your best to care about people in your life, here's what's going to happen. When you pray to God and you try to find ways to care about people, God's going to do something amazing that you may have not been able to see coming. And that is God will enlarge your heart. You want to have I want a large heart for God. God's going to enlarge your heart when you work through these things. Notice if you look at chapter 1, verse 8 there, Paul ends it by saying in verse 8, how I greatly long for you all in the bowels. Our other versions say by the affection of Christ, but literally it's in the bowels of Jesus Christ. That is, in the intestines. You know, when you can love someone with your intestines, with your heart, deep down in the bowels, God is going to enlarge your heart. And so what Paul is saying here is, he's basically saying to them, my love for you is almost as strong as Christ's love for you. And when you're able to do that with a person, that is when you will begin to really make a difference in someone's life. That's when you're maximizing your relationships with others. That's when you will obey the command of Jesus in Matthew 27 or 22 when he said, love your neighbor as yourself. Well, listen, church, as we close this morning, I want you to know that life is too short to not enjoy the people in your life. If you don't learn to enjoy the people that God has placed around you in your life, you will be miserable. When people come into your life, you need to find a way through these principles to enjoy them. Who are the people in your life right now that you need to be more thankful for? Who are the people right now that you've taken for granted, that you have failed to appreciate? When was the last time that you wrote a thank you card to them? Sent a little note saying, I appreciate you. I see the good in you. Are you praying for those people around you? Are you praying for your kids, praying for your spouse, praying for your friends? And who do you need to be more patient with as they grow? Who do you need to start loving from the heart, considering their feelings, asking God to pour into your heart the ability to love them more, to be more graceful toward them, and to love them into a closer relationship with God as well? Well, these are some of the things I wanted you to consider this morning. What I've said today is not so much an evangelistic sermon. This is about your relationships with others. And so I want you to think about, as we close this morning, your relationship with God. That's really what we're talking about at the core, because we're called to love your neighbor as yourself, but what's the commandment before that? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. In terms of your relationship with God, a salvation relationship, have you come to Jesus Christ? Have you decided that I'm going to believe in Jesus Christ, that He's my Savior, He's the Son of God, and on that faith in Him, if you repent of your sins, you're baptized into Christ to have those sins washed away, then you are in relationship with God, and you can follow Him all the way to heaven. So as we close this morning, we're going to offer an invitation. Have you accepted this gift of eternal life? And maybe you're not wanting to do that in a public way this morning. Certainly, we'd love to sit with you privately and talk with you about your relationship with God. At this time, though, we will extend an invitation publicly as we now stand to sing our closing song.